Peace to you, brothers and sisters. Imagine, if you will, that you belong to a family of great literary scholars. And one day, while visiting a relative, you realize that they don't have any knowledge of who Shakespeare was. They've never read Mark Twain, Charles Dickens, or Charlotte Bronte. That they never heard of Geoffrey Chaucer or William Faulkner. Or suppose, like me, you come from a family that's grounded in all things Notre Dame. And one day, one of your relatives tells you that they've never heard of Newt Rockne, the Four Horsemen, Frank Leahy, or Joe Montana. That they've never seen the Golden Dome or Touchdown Jesus. And that to them, the name Father Hesburgh simply sounds like the name of any other priest. Or imagine, perhaps a little closer to home, that you're a fan of the Buffalo Bills. And one day your son or daughter comes to you and tells you that they don't know Doug Flutie, Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, and Marv Levy. These names mean nothing to them. In all these scenarios, you would quite rightly be disappointed. It would be as if an important part of the family identity had been lost. Well, friends, this is the background for the first reading that we had today. The reading from Nehemiah tells the story of the priest Ezra. Ezra was a descendant of the Israelites who'd been carried away in the Babylonian exile in 586 BC. The Babylonian exile was extremely traumatic for the Jewish faith. During this time, the temple had been destroyed. The Jewish monarchy had come to an end, and many of the Jewish leaders began to adopt the customs of the local Babylonian culture and introduced impurities into their faith, or even worse, at times abandoned their faith for the practices and rituals of the pagan Babylonians. After the overthrow of Babylonia by the Persian Empire, the Persian ruler Cyrus the Great gave the Jews permission to return to their homeland in 538 BC. But while they returned to their homeland, many of the Jews never truly returned to their faith. And this situation lasted for nearly 100 years, during which time a huge majority of the Israelites lost their history. They became ignorant of their traditions and rituals. Now, this is the setting for this dramatic first reading that we have, where Ezra reminds the people of who they are. You see, Ezra was one of the few people who'd remained faithful to the Jewish customs and laws. And his heart was torn to pieces at the sight of his people having lost their faith. It stung him to the core. The people of Israel, his family, had forgotten their religious identity. So Ezra embarks on a mission to remind Israel who they are. He informs them that they are God's chosen people, the people with whom the living God has made a covenant. In the dramatic scene that we just read, Ezra reads the Torah, the law, to the people. And he does this from daybreak until midday. He reads the law out loud to the men, the women, and the children, and all listen attentively to their history. They listen as Ezra teaches them the laws and the traditions of their faith. In doing so, the Jewish people became aware of their identity. As they listened, they heard the stories of their ancestors. They learned the laws that were given to them by God. They learned who they were. And as they rediscovered their identity, they were so moved that they began to weep. Now, this story is not simply a matter of ancient Israelite history. No, this story is much deeper than that. It's meant to transform us as well. We must ask ourselves, as Catholics, how well do we know our history? How well do we know who we are as a people in relationship to God? How firmly rooted are we in our identity? The Second Vatican Council encouraged religious communities to look at their history, to go back to their foundation in order to understand who they are. I think this is a good exercise not only for religious communities, but for all Catholics. We need to continually educate ourselves in the faith. We need to make sure that we know the great stories, the great traditions and rituals that define who we are as Catholics. It seems to me that we Catholics have been very poor at this. And I see this, for example, when I look at the Second Vatican II document, Lumen Gentium, which states that taking part in the Eucharistic sacrifice is the font and apex of the whole Christian life. The font and apex, the source and summit. People receiving First Communion, remember this, communion is the font, it's the source and summit, it's the most important thing that we as Christians do. Yet sadly, many Catholics don't attend Mass. Now I know that there's numerous reasons that people don't attend Mass, but my point is, regardless of the reasons, when Catholics don't attend Mass, they've given up what's central to their faith. Similarly, many Catholics have adopted a secular moral mentality. That is to say, they've adopted the morality of the secular culture, the worldly American culture in which we live. In this sense, they're like those Israelites who adopted the Babylonian culture rather than uphold their unique identity as God's chosen people. And in doing so, when Catholics do this, they cease to be followers of the way, and they trade their Catholic identity for a secular one. So how do we change this disturbing trend? Well, I think that change begins at home. It begins with us who are gathered here in this church. We who realize the importance of a Catholic identity need to take seriously Vatican II's mandate to look at our history and to form ourselves according to that history. And here at Peace of Christ, there's several opportunities for us to do that. There's several opportunities for us to develop a greater understanding of who we are as Catholics. You may have seen in the bulletin announcements about small Christian communities that will be forming in Lent. And there are sign-up sheets, I'm told, at all the entrances of the church. I'm correct? Yes. For those communities. And these communities provide the opportunity to gather in small groups, much as the early church did, and to share our faith and to strengthen each other in faith. Also, beginning in Lent, I'll be conducting a series on the Catholic Catechism for Adults. That's a shameless plug. And there's some sign-up sheets in the back, actually, where you can order a copy of the Catholic Catechism for anybody who'd be interested in attending these sessions that will take place on Thursday nights at St. James during Lent. And the Catechism, of course, is the teaching of the official church. We also have a scripture reflection group that Lori facilitates here at St. Ambrose every Tuesday morning. This is another way in which we can come to know who we are as Catholics as we reflect upon the scripture readings for the upcoming Sundays. And our parish website has numerous resources, including podcasts that can further help you to strengthen your Catholic identity. Now, my point in all of this is not to just simply give you a list of what's available, but it's to encourage you to continually explore our rich Catholic history and to educate yourself. Because if we don't explore our history, if we don't keep educating ourselves in the faith, our faith will not grow. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we fail to live out our faith, if we lose our identity, we will lose our uniqueness. We will become like the surrounding culture. Don't let this happen to you. Take advantage of the many opportunities in our parish and in other parishes as well to help ground you in this way of life that is Catholicism, so that like Ezra, you can witness your faith to the many Catholics who have lost their identity. God bless.